It's Jesus, tonight we just want to say we love you. Tonight we just love your presence, God. We love you. We love your presence. Thank you that you are here. Thank you that we can be here, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the privilege. Thank you for the space. Thank you for the worship team. Thank you for each person contributing to tonight, Lord. Thank you that we can be here. Thank you that you are here. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your presence, Jesus. We love you tonight. We just say we love you. We love you, Lord. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for the cross. Thank you that you sent us your Spirit, that you are with us. We love you. Thank you that you're Emmanuel. Thank you that you're with us. We are so privileged, Lord. We feel so humbled and honored that your presence would be with us. We love your presence. We love being in your house. Thank you for family. Thank you, Father, that we are loved by you and also by each other. Thank you that you dwell among us. Jesus, we want to meet with you tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for your words in our hearts, in our ears tonight. And we just open up ourselves to receive from you. Good evening, everyone. Welcome. My name is Liana. I see some new faces. I'm Reina's wife, pastor here at Shofar Ranavosh. So excited about the year. If you're here tonight, it's a good thing. Too bad for those who are not. It's Activate Sunday, which is very exciting. We're going to have a whole lot of people sharing tonight. Tonight is where we share about what we do in church and where you can find your specific place. Who can tell me what's the Lord's word for this year? Oh, well done. God's building. If you didn't know that, you have some serious catching up to do. So this is the word the Lord gave to us at the end. We spoke about the building, that we are each a living stone. And tonight is one of those times when you can actually trust the Holy Spirit to show you which living stone you are. So if your small group members and your friends are not here tonight, what's maybe a good idea is if you take that picture or that little card that you're getting, take a picture with your phone, WhatsApp it to them, let them print it and fill it out by themselves, and let them bring it with on Wednesday evening. I really wouldn't like for anyone to miss out. I'm going to share a quick word, and then we're actually going to share about all the ministries in church, and we're going to have all the different people in front here. So tonight you just have to keep your seatbelt on. Just quickly, Stephen, I can hardly see. Where? Right in the corner there. We thanked everyone before you came in who helped with the building, and you missed it. So Stephen, is Ruland there? No. But for the two of you, thank you so much. For helping with the coffee shop and just all your time. And we thanked all the other people as well. So many people helped with the building. Such a literal way in which we can do God's building this year. It's actually been our venue. Anae and Duncan and Raina and some people also, if you see the intercession room there, some new book racks there. Every time you come to church, there's something new. We're really building God's building. We bought some material. We want to make curtains for that room. So please come and tell me if anyone can make curtains and is keen to help. Build God's building. So tonight we're going to speak about everything that's happening, and I just want to quickly share something that the Lord laid on my heart, literally one scripture. So for myself, we did, okay, so the one paper they handed out, the first one is you just take one, it speaks about encounters and that. Now they're going to hand out one about finances, and you need to take two. So each person take two of the exact same one. Okay, so just while I'm speaking, you can do that. So for me, every year, myself and Raina, we ask the Lord at the beginning year obviously we pray about the church, a word for the church, but also for each of us individually, in our relationship with the Lord, we ask him for what he wants us to do this year. The only thing we can do is we can be obedient to the Lord. And I want to encourage you with that tonight. The best thing you can do is to be obedient to the Lord. So that's why we're trusting tonight for each one of us that the Holy Spirit will guide us. And the only thing we need to do is be obedient to where the Lord leads us. So for me, for 2015, the Lord said to me, he wants me to become fearless. So I don't know how that would work, but I prayed about it, and lots of things the Lord did in my life, and things he spoke to me, some processes he took me through. And by the end of the year, then of course you need to check and see that you actually, were you obedient in what the Lord said? So I prayed about it, and the Lord did show me some things. He showed me, for instance, you know, this specific thing, like one thing is, I realized I actually had a fear of sleep deprivation. My kids are 1.5 and 3, so I've had a good 3 years of sleep deprivation. So if you haven't had it, you're totally not going to understand. But if you've had it, it really becomes something to fear. And I've realized in the December holidays that I've finally been delivered from that fear. We'll hear a cheer from my husband over here. So it's not that I don't get that anymore. It's just that I'm not afraid of it anymore. But there were a few things where I could actually measure myself and see, yo, I'm not perfectly fearless now, fortunately. But I have grown, and I've been obedient in what the Lord wanted me to do. Now, the next thing the Lord said to me for 2016 is he wants me to become selfless. I think that's going to be quite a level up from fearless. And even so, every day I've been praying about that in the morning, and then God would give me one or two things to do in the day so that I would grow in this. And I fail at least one test every day. That's the truth. But at least I've got the year, so I've got some time to grow in it. But what I've realized on this journey is just how much the Lord is actually not Lord of my life. And I've been reading a book by John Bevere, Good or God. Who's read it? It's a good one. I'm a fan, John Bevere. All his books are good ones. You can totally read it. This is his latest one. I've been reading it. And I just want to share a quick thing that I read in there which really spoke to me. Scripture, if you can put up the scripture for me, Agnes, please. Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. So speaking to Christians, speaking to people who prophesied, real prophecy, not fake prophecy, who cast out demons, who did mighty works in the sense of miracles, typically someone we would say is a Christian. I don't know who of you have casted out demons. There should be quite a few. Put your hands. Some of you are not putting your hands. There we go. Okay, so many of us have casted out demons, something every Christian can do. If you want to learn, come to F4. Someone who's not a believer cannot cast out demons. So definitely talking about real believers here. But the Lord is saying, I did not know you. Two things from that. The most important thing we're going to talk about now in terms of, you know, the church and building God's building, what can we spend our time and our money on this year? But the most important thing you will spend your time on this year is your relationship with the Lord. The most important thing you need to do is have quiet times, connect with the Lord. That's number one. It doesn't help we do things, but at the end we say, depart from me, I never knew you. Just a tip, something I found in my personal life, is it actually doesn't work to say, I'm going to scale down everything else so that I spend time with the Lord. Who has found out that that doesn't work? The more you make time to spend with the Lord, the less you do it. You know, if you have the whole day, you're like, oh, I'm going to have so much quiet time today. You get to the evening, you've watched three movies, you didn't have quiet time. And when you have a really hectic day, then you think, you know, I've got to work, I've got something at church tonight. You get up at 5, you have an hour quiet time. So on a really hectic day, you end up connecting with the Lord. On a really open day, you end up not. So the point is not to say, you know, don't do anything at church so that you can connect to the Lord. The more you commit yourself, the more you will need the Lord, and the more you will actually be able to spend time with him. But that is still number one. And of course, the point is not to commit to as many things as possible. The point is to be obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. The second thing about that scripture is it says Lord. And this is what John Bevere says in the book. And this is the only thing I'm going to share tonight before we start explaining the card. He says that Jesus is our Savior, and Jesus is also our Lord. The Savior is the one who saves us, forgives our sin. He died on the cross. We come to him. Our sins are forgiven. But he says something interesting. Let me read it to you the way he says it. He says, to confess Jesus as merely Savior doesn't bring freedom or new life. Who has seen people who confess Jesus or experienced yourself and who actually didn't have freedom or new life? How common is this? I realize this is a strong statement that cuts the grain against the grain of our accepted appeals to the lost, but it's true to Scripture. The word Savior is found 36 times in the Bible. The word Lord occurs over 7,800 times. Where do you think God places the emphasis? Lord declares the position he holds in our life, whereas Savior describes the work he's done for us. We cannot partake of the benefit of his work unless we come under his position as Lord and King. And he speaks in the book about a Lord is someone that you submit to, so you are 100% obedient. And I've challenged myself just since the beginning of the year, which is not long ago, trying to be selfless, realized how often I please myself and I'm not pleasing the Lord. How many times the Lord directly tells me to do something or not to do something and I disobey. That means he's not Lord. That means he is my Savior. I can definitely say Jesus is my Savior. but in a lot of areas, he's maybe not yet my Lord. And this is the shift I need to make this year, and this is what I want to encourage us with, is Jesus obviously is the Lord, and he wants to be the Lord in our lives. How do you know if the kingdom comes in your life? If the king starts to reign. Okay, the kingdom is where the king reigns. When the kingdom reigns in my life, then the kingdom is coming. So we're going to have just the altar call right now. Anyone who knows that there's areas in your life where Jesus is not Lord yet, quickly stand up and pray for you. And we all, most of us know this to be true, but let's trust the Holy Spirit to show us specific areas as well. So that as we pray now, we're actually yielding specific areas to him. And when I pray for you now, when you walk out of here, the Holy Spirit is going to start to show you. And you need to ask him in the morning. And then when he shows you, choose to obey. It's okay if you fail every day like me. Just keep on going. We've got the whole year. Okay, close your eyes. And Jesus, we just declare tonight that we want you to be Lord. This is what we say in our hearts tonight. And we know we fall so far short. And we repent, and if you want to pray out loud or just agree in your heart with me, we repent, Lord, of where we've made you, accepted you as a Savior. And for some of us, it's been years that you've been our Savior, but yet we've not made you Lord, and we've missed this emphasis that you placed in the Bible. And we don't want to be those people who you say one day, you do all these things for me, but you don't know me. So we thank you, Lord, we can choose right now for this year that we're going to know you. Thank you for time spent in your presence. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're going to guide us where to serve you. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for that unctioning for when we need to be obedient. Convict us, Holy Spirit, when the Lord says something and we don't honor it, and thus we're not recognizing him as Lord. Holy Spirit, come and show us. We give you the right to show us. We ask that you show us, convict us, and give us that grace and that capacity to keep on persevering until Jesus is Lord. We just declare that Jesus is Lord. Amen. Amen. Okay, so if you look at your first card, and maybe just let me recap for those of you who've maybe missed the last 2 months or so. God's building is our vision for the year. We're thinking, we're working in teams. We're trusting God to build a team around us. What we're focusing on, bring a friend, especially with encounters, to really make an effort to bring our friends to the encounters. And just for the members to remember the 2-minute rule for this year. Okay, now let's look at the cards. And the first group of people can please come up so long. Kathleen. Kathleen, Reno, James, Reno. So if you look at this card, there's 2 sections. The first one says, I would like to sign up for the following ministry. Okay, obviously important at the bottom, your name, your surname, your email, and your cell number. If you fill it in and I don't know who you are, that doesn't help. Can't contact you. So, just my stuff blowing away here. If the Lord is speaking to you now, the Lord has already spoken to you, you can fill this card in now. Please do that as we go along. Maybe the Lord speaks to you, fill it in. And at the end of the service, you can drop it in. We'll send around the offering baskets. If you're not sure, we're going to fast this week. If you didn't know, surprise. 3 days. We're starting tomorrow. Only water. We are doing a full fast, but if your faith is not there, do a partial fast. That's completely fine. Rather than not fasting at all with us. So trust the Lord, ask the Lord, what kind of fast should you do? If your faith is there, do the full fast with us for 3 days. Otherwise, fast something that matters to you, obviously. Otherwise, it's not a fast. And over the next 3 days, we're going to pray for the church. We're going to pray for the year. We'll get together, obviously, tomorrow night and Wednesday night. And you're going to pray about these 2 cards. You're going to make sure that you're filling in here what the Holy Spirit leads you to do. And you're going to pray for the Holy Spirit to enable you to do it this year, to keep the commitment that he led you to put. And then you're going to pray for your friends, that the Holy Spirit shows them what to put on here. You're going to pray for your small group. You're going to pray for people in the church. If you're involved in a specific ministry, like you're very involved in Encounter 4, then you're going to pray for Encounter 4 that the Holy Spirit connects the right people. So this is what you're going to do over the next 3 days. So if you want to keep your card, you can, and then you just bring it on Wednesday night when we're all together here. So then fill it out through the fast. Bring it on Wednesday night. Someone's not here, send a picture, WhatsApp this to them, let them print it, fill it in, bring it on Wednesday night. Please catch up the people who are not here. Then the first section is, I want to sign up. This means I want to do one of these things. Now, Encounters, you should really see it as one course with four sections. Encounters is crucial. In church, the most important thing is church and small group. We see church and small group as one thing. Church and small group go together. So that's the first important thing to attend, church and small group. Shall we watch the small group video quickly? So we have a leaders camp this coming weekend. Anyone in church who's a leader can come, and anyone in church who wants to be a leader can come, and anyone who's going to be a leader at some point can come. Okay, so if you are a leader, if you want to be a leader, I think everyone I see has potential to be a leader. So anyone who wants to come, whether you are a leader or you're going to become a leader, you're welcome to join this camp. Okay, there's all the details. Next weekend, Rawsonville, RSVP to the shop is R200. That's going to include, I think, one meal, but you'll get all the details. So there's church and small groups. Then the next important thing is that you do the encounter series, 1, 2, 3, 4. And look at your paper there. I would advise, if you haven't, tick all those that you haven't done. That's what I would advise, that you put your faith to finish it this year. Do all the encounters. It's the very basics of what we believe. It's the very basics of healing. It's the things that absolutely every single person needs to go through. Encounter 1, 2, 3, 4. We're going to share a bit more about that now. Then Bible school is the next thing. So the moment that you have faith to commit that time to Bible school, that's also something important that you should do. And Ivan will tell you more about that. School of Nations will also chat about now. So that first section is, I want to do these ones. You tick it here. Then what you do is this week, you go look at the calendar. If you don't have it, email Kirby. She'll give it to you. You can get our calendar onto your Gmail so that you always know what's happening. And you note down what dates the things are that you said you're going to do. You put it in your diary, and you make sure that you are there that time. You know, this is your faith commitment. You ticket, yeah, but we're not going to phone you all and say, you know, you committed, it's coming up next weekend, are you ready? You go look at the calendar, you put down the date, and your faith is to make sure that you are ready for that. You trust the Lord. We had a lady in church, she was a nurse. She used to work weekends and night shifts. She wanted to do the foundation encounter series. She said to me, it's going to be impossible because it's always on weekends. She always works on weekends. I said, you know, take my hands, let's pray about it. She noted down the dates, and she never knew ahead of time when she's going to work, so she couldn't really plan it. She wrote down the dates for financial encounters. She said, Lord, I want to do the encounters. That year, every time she had off, it was on the next encounter that she needed to do. She did all the encounters in a year. She activated her faith. Trust me, the Lord wants you to do this. He's going to help you. Okay, then we'll talk in the next one. We're going to talk about serving in church, so giving your time. So it also says encounter 1, 2, 3, 4. So I'd always advise the moment you've done encounter, next session facilitated. It will be the next step in your growth. It's one thing to sit and receive. It's the next thing to give. To give is more blessed than to receive. In terms of serving at encounters, what we would like is if each person in church specialized in one. So if you felt the Lord leading you to one of the encounters, you commit to that for the year. Same thing. You go note down the dates now already. You email the office and say you're willing to facilitate. You know, you make sure that you get there. But you put your faith for that. And if you don't know which one you would like to, you can put down now, like, I want to facilitate encounter 4, even if you haven't done it. Then you just tick, I want to do it and I want to facilitate. Okay, so you can tick already now if you want to facilitate, even if you haven't done it. And if you don't know which one you want to do, if you don't know them at all, I'd say just facilitate all of them this year. That's what I did. You do all of them, and then you will see which one stirs your heart, and you will learn which one is actually meant for you. Okay, Kathleen, tell us why we can feel confident in bringing someone to encounter one.
Okay, I think the big thing that really makes it incredible is that we very specifically trust God to show us what he wants to do in each individual life that's going to be coming. We don't know the people coming, but we ask God, the people that's coming, what do you want to do in their hearts? And it's incredible. We ask Holy Spirit, in our own testimonies, what are the keys that are going to unlock the participants' hearts? And we've seen that every single encounter one, not a single one is the same. They're all different. We all share from our testimonies completely differently because it's incredibly personal what the Holy Spirit wants to come and do. And it's amazing. You sit there and one person shares after another and you see how the Holy Spirit moves on each person and touches very specific areas of their heart that the Lord wants to touch. And he's touching them from stories from our own lives, where Jesus has come to bring salvation, to bring that freedom, and to bring that restoration in our lives. So it's a real encounter from real stories with a real Jesus. And then I think what's also incredible, Liana, is that it's not just they're encountering the Holy Spirit and Jesus in our stories, but also we back everything up with the Word. So they see, shucks, you know, this is what the Word of God says, and we're actually seeing it activated and alive in these people's lives. So this is not just a dead book, and this is real what's being said there.
These, by the way, are the champions for the encounters. So if these are the faces you need to connect to encounter 1, 2, 3, 4 for questions or commitments or that. I love what I see at Encounter One always is they talk about the word of knowledge and then they get word of knowledge for the people that are there. So we explain it from scripture, but then we do it right there. So everyone sees, oh my God, this is really real. Why are you passionate about people, Kathleen?
I actually think it's impossible to say that you're walking closely with Jesus and not love people and be passionate with them, because wherever you look in the word, Jesus is always with the people.
Amen. And who should get involved in Encounter One?
If you really, really want to give away what you've received, what God's given you, and if you really, like, it freaks you out that, like, people don't know Jesus, it, like, bugs you, which it should for everyone, so you're all coming to Encounter One facilitation. and also, if you, you know, and also, if you see people around you, you see that they know the Lord, but they're shaky, because, you know, there's basic truths that are not solidified in their lives. And then also, you know, there's two very big topics which are very powerful in our lives, and that's relationship with the Holy Spirit, knowing Him, and also the power and authority that comes from baptism, which we touch on in a big way. And, you know, I think those are things which I think if you really have a desire to see people walk in the fullness of that, Encounter One is where they're going to really hear what is it all about and an opportunity to respond. To the stuff.
Amen. Thank you, Kathleen. So Reno for Encounter 2, he's heading that up. Why can we feel confident in bringing someone to Encounter 2?
Okay. Not as amazing as Kathleen. The most amazing thing about Encounter 2 is the fact that you can rely on an awesome team. We've got amazing facilitators, but that's not the important thing. What is important is that you actually come and facilitate with that person. So if you invite someone to Encounter 2, for me, the biggest thing that I've seen change in people's lives is when you actually support that person by coming along and really supporting them through the entire Encounter 2. I mean, Encounter 2 basically goes about church. It goes about the home encounter. So by being part of that person's family, in a sense, and joining them, it's profound for that person to see your commitment also coming along. That said, if it is that you feel you want to invite someone and you have someone that you really want to send and you cannot come along, just give us a heads up. Tell us who's popping in so we can prepare ourselves. We'd love to obviously invite that person in and just spend time with them. So we're ready. We've got a great team that's ready for Encounter 2. So, yeah.
I've seen a lot of people healed from a fenceless church through Encounter 2. And most of us come actually from broken homes. And Encounter 2 is about family. So a lot of people struggle to connect in church because church is a family and they have no idea what a real family is. And Encounter 2 is so crucial for that. Why are you passionate about people, Reno?
I think just taking my own testimony and seeing how God has taken me from a sinner to saint, from zero to hero. Yes, amen. How can you not be passionate seeing that in other people's lives? It really is an absolute privilege to seeing how God takes a person and writes out the most epic Hollywood movie. It's like almost like Kung Fu Panda. You just go from nowhere to everywhere. God just shows you your character. He shows you how amazing person you are. He identifies your character and really just who He's called you to be. So really it's a special thing to see that. And that really what inspires me to see people come to Encounter 2, inspires me to see them go through the process. So, yes.
And who should get involved in Encounter 2?
I'm actually going to flip this thing a little bit around. So the Encounter 2 guys that I'd like to see facilitating is the people that are currently struggling with being part of church, that sits here, that really is challenged by community, challenged by family, challenged by being part of corporate, challenged by being part of a team. So I know, because I used to sit there and feel like that. Now I head up Encounter 2, which is an absolute gem. And I just want to tell you, I've gone through Encounter probably 10 to 15 times now. And it's amazing to see how God just changes my heart every time I go through it and see how much depth there is still for Him to dig into and really just show me the depth of His church. And it's just amazing to see how I've grown. So I want to encourage you, if you're struggling with those things, I want you on my team.
Amen. Thanks, Rena. Also, Encounter 2, you can flap. Is if you've done Encounter 1 and 2, you can officially become a member of the church. At Encounter 2, you can sign a membership form. Those are the two ones we'd like you to do before becoming a member so that you know what you're signing into, what we believe. It actually, and I want to encourage you, if there's anyone here who's coming to church but you haven't signed a membership form, please do Encounter 1 and 2 and sign it, because that you know that it makes a difference to the Lord. You know, the Lord says to me and Reno, we are accountable for the sheep in our flock. We need to count the sheep in our flock. And the sheep in our flock are the ones who've made a covenant with the church, who've signed the membership form. So there are times when we take lists, we pray for people in church, and we don't always know. There's so many people coming in and out. We can't know everyone, and we don't know always who's sitting in church that's not a member. And the Lord actually does not hold us responsible for people who are not a member. So there's an extra level of covering and prayer when you are an actual member. To the Lord, it's a big thing. So if you maybe one of those people, I want to encourage you to do Encounter 2 and become like a member, assigned actual covenant member of the church. So James is with Encounter 3. So tell us why we can feel confident to bring someone to Encounter 3, James.
I think first of all, what's important to note is that all the Encounter series, I believe, are based on true biblical doctrine, first and foremost. And we all know it, but do we really know it? That we serve a living, loving God, for one. And when I think of Encounter 3, and I've facilitated it many a times, and I've even participated myself, the one true scripture that stands out for me is the parable of the lost son. I honestly feel that that's the heart of God, the Father heart, the heart that He's yearning for His children to return back to Him. And I mean, if we look at that parable, we see, you know, it's the lost son. He was feeding the pigs, basically, when he realized, hang on, I'm going to have a better life being a servant in the house of my father. But when he got back to his father gave him so much more than his expectation was. And I believe that God uses Encounter 3 as a means to do a lot of restoration in our lives, because it's based on His love, the Father's heart, the heart of loving His children, and that He wants you to realize that He just doesn't want to give you a life, but He wants to give you a life in abundance. I can't remember all my four.
Yeah, why
answers.
Are you? Yeah.
Lastly, also, I honestly believe that Encounter 3 is a great stepping stone to Amen. Liberty. Or Encounter 4, where God comes and does even greater things in our lives, where there's so much forms of oppression or whatever. Raina's going to talk about that.
Amen. So why are you passionate about people, James?
Can I copy and paste especially Kathleen's answer? No, I'm passionate about people because God's imparted so much love into my life, even though I'm a sinner. You know, like Raina said, you know, from sinner to saint. So much more do I realize that God wants to impart that into other people's lives, and I can be a vessel in that regard.
Amen. And who should get involved at Encounter 3?
First of all, I would say if you want to participate, then you've got to come with a heart of you want to enter into a living, growing relationship with the Lord, because God's going to take you places. You know, let's just claim it in each of our lives. And if you want to facilitate, if you've already gone through it, then it's got to come from the position of you want to really be part and parcel of that whole vessel of God's building, of imparting into somebody else's life, to help equip that person under the covering of the Lord to be able to go fight the fight.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, James. Rainer for Encounter 4. Just to add on to Encounter 4, we also do one-on-one deliverance in church, PHS, which means personal healing and deliverance sessions. We do that for people who've already done Encounter 1 to 4 and they maybe feel like they need something more. You're also able to get involved with that. We're willing to train anyone to do deliverance or PHS. So you can just send your names to the office and say, I want to get involved with PH and deliverance. For that, you need to have done Encounter 4 and have facilitated it once, but then you can get involved. But for Encounter 4 itself, why can we feel confident to invite someone to Encounter 4?
Okay, do you want the short answer or the long answer?
The short one.
Short one. I'll give you the medium one. The short answer is God loves people.
I mean.
Okay.
Okay, a bit longer.
The medium answer is God really loves people. I've really found that so Encounter 4 is about freedom and walking in our freedom, and I found that in the church today in Christianity we believe in a superficial freedom. We say Christ makes you free, but if we were really free, we'd be fearless, we'd be courageous, we'd be like Jesus,
be healed,
doing mighty exploits and great things for God. And making him famous. And I believe the only reason we're not walking in that freedom is because we don't allow God to go deep enough in our hearts. The deeper we allow him, the more freedom. And it's just about a willingness to yield to God. God can heal anything. He can deliver us from anything. It's about us being willing to do that. And at Encounter 4... Our only agenda is to connect to Jesus. Our whole weekend, we just connect to him. And the more we allow him, the more he heals us. The more he sets us free, the more we can do that.
Amen. So Jesus loves people. Why are you passionate about people?
I'm passionate about people because I'm passionate about God.
That's a good answer.
And I believe God, every person has got the potential to make Jesus famous. And that's why I'm passionate about people. God chooses to use people. And that's also why I love Encounter 4, because God uses people and he heals people and he does it through people.
Amen. Who should get involved at Encounter 4?
Anyone that likes to be a Ghostbuster.
It's
true.
If
you want to be a Ghostbuster, you can take us. Okay. That's again the short answer. The medium answer is if you've got the gift of discernment, you must be there.
If
you want the gift of discernment. If you want to fulfill the evangelistic commission to heal the sick and to cast out demons, you must be there. And if you just want to see freedom in people's lives, you're passionate about that, you must be there. And I believe everyone must at least be there once just to experience it, to see how amazing God is in setting people free. Can I share a testimony?
Yes.
Is it okay?
You are the pastor.
Long answer now. So I remember when I was a student, I was facilitating. I think it was my first, so I really didn't consider myself to be, an expert at Encounter 4, but I was just there, and there was this tall guy, this really big, strong guy, and he was there. At Liberty, which it was called back then. And he had such an encounter with God. And I remember at a stage, he was just at the brink of breakthrough. But he could just not get past that point. And I just went up to him and I said to him, listen, I'm not going to pray anything, but you do this, this, and this. And I just said a couple of things. And he did that. And then I said to him, okay, but don't stop. Just persevere. Just go through it. And I really honestly didn't do anything, but something clicked in his heart and in his spirit. And that day it's such a freedom. He became such a some of you know him, but he's such a powerful man of God. He understands his identity. And after the encounter, he thought I was really such an amazing guy. And I said to him, but listen, I didn't do anything. You did it. And that's what Encounter 4 is about: is exercising your authority. That which God has given you.
Amen. Thank you. So, yes, you can clap. So also at the Encounter 3 and 4 are more, they're a bit longer, they're over like a weekend. So we also need people to help cooking. You can also let us know if you'd like to get involved with that kind of serving. And just in terms of doing encounters, so just to wrap it up, don't think what the encounters are about, whether you need that. Trust me, everyone needs every encounter. Okay, I never thought I needed deliverance until I went to encounter 4. Don't worry about what you think you need. You need all the encounters. and then also, if you're going to facilitate, don't worry about knowing what to do. We will train you. Okay, so if you come to facilitate, we'll train you and you will learn. It's just how it works. I won't tell you maybe my story. We won't do that to you. Ivan and Jamie, please come up. They're going to talk to us about Bible school and School of Nations. So Ivan, why are you passionate about Bible school?
Okay, seeing that we're speaking about Bible school, I will quote scripture.
Good, good.
John 1, verse 1 to 5. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. The reason why I'm passionate about it is because we speak about topical, relevant topics in Bible school. It gives not only the person that goes to Bible school, but also the teacher the opportunity to actually prepare a ready defense for the world out there.
Amen. And how does Bible school relate to God's building?
Once again, some scripture. Two scriptures this time. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11 to 13. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. And 2 Timothy 4, verse 2 to 4. Preach the word of God, be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears wants to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. So you can see by that scripture we are living in those times. I believe we've been living in those times forever, but especially now. And I think we get the opportunity to really build a good foundation in a person's life by going to Bible school. It's really an opportunity for everyone to not only go there, but to actually learn the tools in order to apply everything of basic Christianity in their workplace or wherever they go. Also, you guys will know that during Sunday evenings, we don't necessarily cover all the basics of Christianity in our services. We rely mainly on a spirit-led service in the evenings. So it's essential for everyone to actually come to Bible school in order to learn those basics and how to apply it. So the question, who should come to Bible school? Everyone.
Amen. Yeah, we can't repeat all the basics every year because, you know, people are in church for more than 1 year. That would be so boring. So we want people to go to Bible school to get the basics, and on the Sundays we preach above that, you know, on top of that. What's also great about Bible school, what I love, is it's really interactive. As teachers, we are encouraged to ask questions in our classes. So there's a lot of discussion. It's very practical. You'll need to apply what you learn. There's 3 years. You can start in January or June, Tuesday evenings, first, a second, and a third year. And if you've done a third year and you want to teach, you can speak to us, and we can train you to be a teacher at Bible school. Jamie, so School of Nations, what is it? Why do we have it? And Who should do it? Why should someone do it?
Okay. So we as a church are called to the nations. So we all should be doing School of the Nations. Hello. School of the Nations Amen. Teaches a lot of modules that Bible school doesn't teach. Like we're in Africa. We call to the mission field. Stuff like witchcraft, the spiritual climate of Africa, how to handle the spiritual climate. We go on missions to Africa all the time, but we need to know how to do it, culture, stuff like evangelism, how to hear God's voice quickly. When you have a moment with somebody in the elevator, you only have like 30 seconds, but how to hear God's voice quickly so you can actually impact somebody and God can have they can have an encounter with God. So I think everyone should do School of the Nations. Like, we're in this church because we're called to the nations. You're in this church because you're called to the nations. And you should be in School of the Nations. It's 2 weeks. It's a consecrated space where you really get a download from the Lord. What is He saying? His prophetic mandate or prophetic word over Africa, over South Africa. And this is where you need to be because this is where God's heart is. It's for the nations.
Amen. Thank you, Jamie. That was awesome. So for those of you who are new this year, who've come from other places, I've met quite a few of you. Every Shofar church, as Shofar, we have a vision. We reach nations and generations. We plant churches, we raise leaders, etc. But every Shofar church, God uses in a little specific way. So our church, specifically since we planted, the Lord has said, I want you to bring my sons and daughters from afar. So the calling on our church specifically is to raise up future leaders for Africa, all the way, South Africa, all the way up. So this is why specifically our church is doing this, because we really set our hearts on this thing that God wants to do in Africa. Also, the School of Nations, we are a very prophetic church, and it's just happened this way that a lot of the modules at School of Nations are prophetic activation. So I see the students sometimes on the first day and the fourth day. By the fourth day, you look at them and they prophesy. You do this and they prophesy. Prophesy in 10 different ways. They know all the... It's not a mental thing. It's an activation thing. It's really amazing. Marichen, Miranda, and Blessing. Okay, so if you look at your cards, please come up. You'll see the next ministries there, and they're going to tell you what these ministries are about. So why are you passionate about intercession, Marichen? Where's the mic? Oh, there we go. Why are you passionate about intercession?
It's difficult to give one reason. So can I give a few? So Dick Eastman, he says, to be intercessor is to be like Christ, because that is what Christ is like. He ever lives to intercede. And I think to be at that place, I want to be a disciple of Christ, and I want to be like Christ, so I definitely am passionate about intercession. But also intercession is a place where we meet with God, where we hear his voice. He leads us where we need to go. You know, we come together and we get excited about what God wants to do. We're sitting in intercession now before church, and we're so excited because we see God's heart for the people. And that excites us. We see God's heart for the lost. We see God's heart, you know, for whatever, everything. So it's an awesome place to be, to see God's faithfulness, the victories. When at the end of the year, we're so excited because we can so testify how all that we prayed for, God came and he showed us things and things happened. And, you know, it's so part of what God is doing and building. It's like something that you cannot leave out. It's something that's always part of everything in what we do. So that's my passion.
Amen. I agree. How does it relate to God's building?
You can't build without prayer, okay? So this week God showed me in Nehemiah how the people were fighting and building. But the whole book is about prayer. If you look about how Nehemiah came in, he's like, God, what must we do? And God gave him the passion to do that, or the desire to do that. And then he came and he started building, or they started building. And the enemy still came. Okay, so there were people fighting against the enemy, and there were people building, but there was also people building and fighting. And I truly believe that as we're building, the enemy doesn't like that. And we need to be awake and watch and say, okay, we're going to fight. You know, we're not just going to stand and think everything's going to work out and just go with the flow, but we're like, we're here. We want to see what God is doing. Amen. We're fighting. We're going for his building.
Amen. How can people get involved?
Just stick on the cord. we've got intercession on Thursday mornings at the church. Then we've got before Sunday services, we've got full night prayer. I just say all night prayer.
Full night.
But I mean full night. Also we've got a core group. So if you really, you know, want to get committed, that's things where we ask God specific things beforehand. There's also, like, with all the encounters, we need people to pray. I have so many testimonies of we praying and seeing the stuff happening at intercession, at the encounters. What else? Every ministry, there's intercession, okay?
Amen, it's true.
And then if you also want to know more about praying or praying for specific people, or if you've got a heart to pray for specific people in church or specific ministry, or you're going to especially pray for our pastors, not because they're not good, but because that's
we
awesome.
Need it, we need it.
But if you have a heart for any specific thing like that, just come to me and then we can talk about it.
Amen. Thanks, Marichen. Miranda? What are you passionate about, Kids Church, and how does it add to God's building?
I'm passionate about the kids. I'm passionate about God's word, and I'm passionate about teaching the kids about God.
Hello? Okay. Go and see.
He's eating it.
Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but that one who sent me. Matthew 9:37. Through Kids Church, we will reach a specific generation, various nations, and build God's building, mainly through discipleship relationships with the kids. We will teach children the truth of God's word by going beyond the basic Bible stories. We will equip them with the word of the ministry, encouraging them to become active, spiritually functioning members in the body of Christ. We will create an atmosphere and opportunities where the children can experience the presence of God on a regular basis. Okay, everybody, please come and facilitate at Kids Church. If the Lord led you, you don't need any skills or be able to work with kids. We will teach, guide, and help you step by step. Kids Church facilitators are not on duty every week. Also, when morning services begin, you could volunteer in the mornings and still attend church at night. Then what I want to leave with you is 1 Corinthians 3:6-7 in this time of building, that I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. Jesus is Lord. Amen.
I think he wants to be a preacher. Thank you so much, Miranda. I just want to agree with that last year. Yeah, you can clap. The Lord spoke very specifically to us. Very specific to us about the kids. A lot of words and intercession coming out about the kids. So we've revamped our whole kids church. We use a curriculum that teaches the kids to pray in tongues. It teaches the kids to operate in the Spirit, to perform healing. Every single week they're practicing healing, they're practicing tongues. So we have a really solid Bible-based kids church. We train the facilitators to also move in all the gifts because you need to be able to do it to train the kids. But really the Lord is moving there, so pray about that one as well in order to go and help facilitate. It would really help us to have some guys there as well at the facilitation. Sound, blessing. What are you passionate about sound and how does it relate to God's building? Maybe let me just say, sound is that's the sound desk at the back there. That's what I mean by sound. It's someone who works on the sound desk and making the service possible.
Yeah, it's just a great opportunity for me to steward the time that God has given me and the gifts that He's given me. Because I've understood that He uses the time that He's given me and the skills to actually disciple me into being like Him. So, and it relates to God's building because you can't build without builders, and you really become a living stone when you're serving. Because God comes and carves out the sharp edges, and yeah, He uses you. And you become part of His greater goal.
Do people need to have any kind of experience to join the sound team?
No, actually, you don't need any kind of experience. Because the way I joined, someone said, hey, would you like to be part of the sound team? I was like, yeah, that sounds cool. And I didn't have
any. Sounds cool.
Yeah, it did. I didn't have any experience in sound. I can't sing myself. I can't play anything. But Esther doesn't agree, we come as you are and we'll teach you and you'll become a good sound engineer.
Awesome, and learn some skills along the way. I like that. Andrea, Bianca, Stefan and Francia, come up please. Andrea, would you like to tell us why you're passionate about hospitality and how is it part of God's building?
Okay, I think Okay, so I think in any family, and I believe our church is a little family in Christ, that everyone has a little part to give. And I didn't hear from God a specific vision or word or you must do this or a dream or whatever. I just looked at what
I'm just joking.
Pray for me. I just looked at what I can give, what I'm naturally good at, that doesn't scare me or freak me out, and I decided to come and give that at church. And I really believe that it builds up. I think hospitality is very important for the church because it's the way we welcome people into our family. It's the way we receive them, and it makes them feel welcome and loved.
Amen. Thank you. Hospitality, you can clap, yeah. Hospitality is the snacks that you guys have every time after church. We do give you a budget. You're not on duty every week as well. You only have a turn. So that's what hospitality is all about. And I love what Andrea said, that, you know, God gives us our natural talents for a reason. And it's good for us to see where we can apply that as well. So Bianca, speaking about media, audio, visual. So Agnes sitting at the back there, she's doing the projector and the videos for the service, very important. Why are you passionate about it, and how do you think it's part of God's building, Bianca?
When I think of the projector, I think of the word projector. That word gives me a picture of a arm and a hand opening a window. So I'm actually quite a visual person, and it brings color to the Sunday service. I mean, I think without projector, the service would be quite boring. Apart from the fact that we are saving paper.
It's true.
I'm also quite passionate about recycling, so we don't have to recycle paper.
And it's biblical to recycle.
But apart from that, I mean, it's the next best thing to being in the band. I mean, you're supporting the band. And it's actually an honor to support the band because you're worshiping God. And at the same time, you're kind of supporting the person that is preaching. And that's an honor. Apart from that, can I add? Yeah. It can facilitate dance, which is healing, in my opinion. And it can also be a joyous experience. I think I've covered everything.
I love it.
Over to you. I think so.
I think next week we're putting you up for announcements. Yeah.
Sure.
I just want to agree with Bianca. I'm also a visual person. So it's extremely important for me that, you know, some people are not audio people. They don't learn by what they hear. They learn by what they see. I'm one of them. So it is actually crucial. And the more we can increase our visual communication of the message, the more people we can reach. So I think what she says is true. I believe it as well. I always email the people after conversions personally who do all the graphics because I spend so much time. And I always tell them that it often ministers to me to the point of crying, the graphics and the videos that they do. I so experience the Holy Spirit through Michelle, who does a lot of our videos for us. I cry when I watch the videos because it's anointed. And I'm a right brainer, so that's the way I receive. I totally agree with Bianca. It is actually very crucial. Thank you so much, Bianca. So, Stefan, for the worship team, what is joining the worship team all about, and how does it contribute to God's building?
Okay. So, just first, thanks, Bianca, for setting expectation on the band. The words does help us to all sing the same words and things like that, but I'd like everyone to know the words, but in any case. So worship team, it's not about glory or anything about that. It's not about shine. It's not about if you want a stage or you're a good musician. That's not what it's about. It's not really about being a good musician or, you know, being able to do this. But it's really about having a passion for people connecting with God and having that intimacy with God. And that's what we pray every Sunday before the service is like, Lord, meet the people's hearts. Come in and let people just receive you. And that's our heart for you guys is that we can just serve you in you know, making some noise here. And we give that to God as well. But really a passion for just people connecting. And I'm passionate about just seeing people connecting with God. And you know, God just doing the work. And I love it when I see people just, I see they connect and set free and to come unto the vision of the year. It's just binding up the binding the broken hearted. God does that in worship. At the end, it's Him, and it's when we surrender to Him that He does that. So, yeah.
And how come in your life you're passionate about worship? How did this happen?
Yeah. So worship. Like worship, you talk about worship. Worship is a lifestyle, right? But what we do here is it's just facilitation. It's not always that glorious. It's really a service that we give. You know, we come and we serve, and it's a place of being in a place and surrendering our hearts to Him, right? And so worship for me, I came to salvation walking into a worship service, and just the expression of the people I can still remember it. I was in Sunday 4. I was walking in the back of a hall, and the whole hall was full of people worshiping God. And I could see they're connecting with something else. It's not about the people on the stage. No one was looking at them. They were just like talking to God. And I was like that intimacy, that place of God's just connecting with all that people at once. And I saw it. And I was kind of walking down the side, and I was seeing them. And I was like, Lord, I want this. And I knew it was the relationship with God, and I gave my heart to the Lord. So,
wow, Bob, yeah. We trust for that. And who can join the team, and do they need skill?
Yeah, so
I know I can't join the team.
Let's say there's about three things. So the first thing is really a passion for people to connect with the Lord, right? It's that we want to see the people praise God. And for that, it's not about us on a stage. And that's, I thank God for that, because I don't like a show at all. I hate shows. So normally when I'm up here, I can string a guitar string, and then everyone's got their hands in the air, and everyone's like, you know, they're just connecting with the Lord. And so it's not about that. It's just that passion for seeing really people connecting with the Lord. The other thing is, there's a passion for sound. It doesn't need to be a musical instrument, but there's some talent that you have in terms of, and you know, you can say, Lord, I've got this talent, and I want to give this to you. And you just say, I've got this talent. It doesn't mean it's something that you've seen in a church yet, right? You can beatbox, or you can, you know, beatbox, and I don't know, mixing, and I don't know what else you can do. But you just bring that to God and say, Lord, you've given me this talent. I want to grow that for you. And it's at the same place. It's something that God calls you normally in, because it's something He gives you at the heart and say, I want to serve you through this. And He's calling you. For me, He called me, said, Stefan, you need to sing. And I was like, okay, I need to sing. And I was disobedient for a few years, but when I stepped into the place, He's raising you up to do that stuff. The other thing is, because it's just a talent, well, some musical talent, some musical instrument. You know, just willingness to grow in our instruments, because we need to grow in our excellence as well. So it's a lot about growing in our instruments, submitting to one another, and growing in that team environment.
Awesome. Thanks, Stefan.
Cool. We've got auditions. So normally people would come and you would do an audition. So it's not just, and you can fill your form and you can contact the office, but we've got actual auditions. We get feedback, and
awesome. So tick the box, and they'll invite you for an audition. Okay, Francho needs to tell us firstly, maybe, what is a barista? I'm not sure everyone knows.
Okay, so you guys see the little counter over there where you came in. Okay, so if you make good coffee, or you try and make good coffee, then you're a barista. So you love coffee, you love people, and you love the Lord.
Awesome. Did I just hear loving coffee equated to loving the Lord? My husband would love that. Coffee's numb. So why are you passionate about being a barista, and how do you think it could add to God's building?
Okay, so we all have different gifts, and maybe it's not like, or you might not think it's a big gift, but all the things that you do and that you can do is gifts, and God wants that. He wants a full surrender, and He wants you to bring that to Him. We are called, or our gifts, we are called that we have to use our gift to edify the church, God's building. So by actually just submitting to God and giving your gifts, you can actually build up a building, God's building. And the early church, where Paul also speaks, and he just he just asks people to really that he has, even though it might not seem important, the person must just bring that, give that to the Lord. And although being a barista doesn't maybe necessarily seem as important as a band or some other ministry, it is very important because we are the first face of anyone entering into this church. They see somebody with a cap on or something, and hopefully it's somebody that's got a smile on his face and that really resonates God's love. And just to add on what you have to do to be a barista, who loves people? Everybody. I hope so. Do you love the Lord? Then you love people. Okay, so everybody loves the Lord, you love people. And then all you actually have to do is just maybe love coffee as well. And I do believe there's quite a lot of people that also love coffee. Yeah, so... And then there's just a little five-hour course. One morning, it's just one morning. We've got a papaya. He came, or that's the course I did. It's a guy from Legado, the coffee beans that we use. He came in, he just showed a few things. He actually taught you a lot about coffee in general, about how you can mess it up, mostly. And that happens quite a lot. And also actually how to get it right and perfect. And so he just teaches you that. It only costs 50 Rand and you get free coffee. So, I mean, it's a win-win situation. But please don't use... Just don't come just to do the course for your own gain. It's obviously out of a servant heart to come and be a barista and serve others and serve the church. Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Francha.
Thank you.
You know, it's hard work building God's house, so a cup of coffee is probably going to help along the way. They're all helping us. But on a serious note, you know, Cape Town is a coffee culture, actually. And it's a way for us to engage Cape Town, and I'm not even joking. And that's also why we've opened the Nations Cafe. It's open now in the week from 7 in the morning. Just for now, we have a special buy one, get one free. What is it, a latte? Which one is? 15 Rand. And what's it? Which one is it? Americano. Africano. I'm sorry. I apologize. Africano. So that's really like, that's below cost price, obviously. That's a big special to get two Afrikaners for 15 Rand. So please let people know as well. If you're meeting up with an unsaved friend, this is a good place, you know. Oh, by the way, this is my church, you know. See the building? This is a good place. The presence of the Lord is here. Okay, so we're really wanting to use the coffee shop to reach out, to engage the community. And we're also using the coffee shop to fund some of the church things. So we're really trusting for the coffee shop in that way. Okay, so that takes care of the one card. Now the second card is going to be much shorter. Okay, so the first one said, I commit my time to. Please fill your name. Tick there what the Holy Spirit leads you. Put it in tonight or put it in Wednesday night after you've prayed about it. This one says, this year I commit my finances to. Okay, so when I was about 12 years old, I was in the NG Church, Morleta Park in Pretoria, which, who knows that one? Such a special church for me. That's where I came to know the Lord. I was very young when that like call for who wants to do missions. I went for it. I was so young. It was like all adults and this little girl. But to this day, I honor the commitment that I made there by going on missions. When I was young, I said to the Lord, I'm going to do missions. Very special church for me. So once when I was still in primary school, they did this. And it's meant so much to me. I still remember it. We were building a building at the time. And they said to the church, you know, we are the church. We are doing God's building. And isn't that the theme we have this year? And all over the Shofar movement, we've always said we don't focus on physical buildings. We rent, we don't buy, because we want to be flexible and we spend our money on missions. And this is what the Lord has said to us. This year, at the end of last year, the Lord has directed us to start building buildings and buying buildings. So it's a shift in vision. It's something we're starting to trust the Lord for. We believe it's His timing to give us the land. You know, there's something spiritual when you buy a piece of land. You actually own it. And spiritually, it means you're starting to take the land. So that's what we're trusting for. So back then in the NG Church, they said, you know, we're building a building and you'd ask the Lord what He wants you to give. You write it down here, either a once-off amount, and you say, you put there a date by which you think you will have it. And they said, don't make your budget and, you know, take something out and put it there. Ask the Lord. Whether it's little or whether it's a lot, whether it's in your budget or beyond your budget, you put there what the Lord says. You put the faith date and you trust him that it's going to happen. And we all did it, and my mom said we should do it. I was like 12. I think I put there 5 rand. And then you have two of these. You're going to fill two in. You don't put your name on here. One you're going to give back to us. It's going to help us to see what the Lord is doing, you know, what the Lord is stirring people to give. But we won't have your name, so we won't know who it is. We just have figures. The other one you keep in your Bible. You fill them in the same. The other one you keep in your Bible, and this is your accountability to yourself for the year to remind you what the Lord has guided you in. So just to explain the card to you, the first one, building fund. So we've had a building fund. A lot of people have already given into it. We used it to get this building. We haven't bought it. We're renting it, but we needed a lot of extra cash to rent it. So it went into this. It went into something like that map, the paint, the birds, a lot of things here. The building fund went into that, everything that you see. And as you can see, every week we're improving. So at the moment, we still need to spend on this building, but we're also saving to actually buy a building. So if you want to give building fund, we have two financial accounts at church, two bank accounts, a Ronnebosch account and a missions account. At the back of the card is the details of both. Just see there whichever you're giving to. We've shown you which account to put it into and what to reference. The reference is incredibly important. I've done the finances for the church now for more than a year. If someone puts money into the church and there's no reference, then we just assume it's a tithe. So that's important with money. Let me maybe say this. The first thing the Lord requires of us to give is a tithe. A tithe is 10% of what you get. This is not me speaking. This is the Bible speaking. Don't have time to go into that now. But your first thing, you shouldn't give this if you're not giving your tithe. First give your tithe. Then give your offering. An offering is what you bring on a Sunday. You put it in the basket. It's more than your tithe. Whatever else you want to give. It's part of your worship every week in church. So tithes and offerings are first. This is after that. Okay? And this is the different things you can give. The reference is incredibly important. Please give the reference that's on here so that you know that you're giving into that which the Holy Spirit has led you to give, that we can allocate it correctly. So we're very particular about it. Obviously, we very particular about the finances, that we run it absolutely correctly. So it's very important for us. Building fund, obviously, that I've explained that now. You'll see at each one, you can either say, Lord, the Lord said to me, I must trust to give 5,000 rand, and I'm just going to trust him to give it by June. Then you put there once off 5,000 June. Or the Lord says to me, I should give 30 rand a month. And you put there monthly for 2016, 30 rand. General gift, just if you feel to give into the church. A Joshua David Revival Company. Okay, so Joshua David is a baby that was born in the church to Duncan and Anne. He died in the womb. We really fought for him as a church. We prayed for resurrection. The Lord did a mighty work in the church. Many miracles happened. And he didn't get resurrected, but a lot of other things got resurrected, and the life of our church changed completely. So we started a company called the Joshua David Revival Company. The Lord spoke to us of his life, goosebumps, as a seed, that his life was given as a seed for revival. So that we still trusting the Lord to be obedient in what he started there. So we have the Joshua David Revival Company, and this company is specifically aimed for revival. We run School of Nations through this company. We run the student coaches. So like Jamie and Matthew are student coaches. We pay some of their salary through this company. We run the Nations Band and the Little Bit Dancing. It's all run through this company. So you can give into this. Reno, would you testify quickly? Sometimes that one's got an extra one, a business tithe. Reno's going to speak a little bit about that and share his story.
Okay, so probably going to read a little bit and share a little bit, but some of you have heard my testimony last year when I did my first sermon. I have the privilege of managing a business for the Lord that employs about 280 people, manufacture clothing for a living. So it really is an absolute privilege for me to go to office every day. Even some of the guys in church here works with me. But middle 2013, God gave me a word. At that time, it was a family business. God said to me it was going to go bankrupt that year. So it was quite a hectic word for me to receive. It's not the type of word that you enjoy. It's a business that sustains not only myself, but my brother and my dad as well. So that time was quite stressful. And I started praying. And I felt the Lord say to me during the course of that year that he wants to resurrect this business again. with a little bit of a different angle, same concept for me and my brother. And so in 2014, with virtually no money, we started off just being obedient, and we basically rehashed the business. One thing that was very clear for me from the beginning was that God said tithe, and I knew I was going to have to tithe, and I wanted to tithe. So as a business, he showed me the amount. Actually, in 2013 already, he started showing me the amount that he wanted me to tithe for 2014 and 2015. And off we went. Jolly good time, January 2014. And so as we progressed, things got worse. Business started suffering. I lost about 35% of my staff on 1 week just because of the changes and the stuff we were going through. And to give you an idea, we sell labor. So losing 35% of your staff is quite a big problem. And basically, from there, just financially just became more strained and more difficult. Tithing, we didn't stop, but the challenges came. Our finance company was questioning my moral position with tithing, and so my family was challenging me, and people were challenging me all over the place. And I just said, you know, I just felt so convicted about what God told me to do. I said to him, I'd rather see this company go down in flames before I stop tithing. So I just said, that's what we're going to do, and we're going to continue doing that. So 18 months later, I want to say to you, it's been an absolute adventure. I've learned a lot. It's been very challenging indeed. Can't even explain to you. But the business in the last year has grown 30% in output. With the same amount of staff, we've actually employed about another 20-odd people. So we've grown from about 260 to about 280. And last year was the first year in 15 years of owning the family business and the new business. It was the first time in 15 years that we didn't have to take out a loan to actually get through the end year. So that was in itself a massive blessing, and one that I can't even profoundly understand and explain to you. But what I want to do is just honor the fact that I can be in such an amazing church and listen to the offering message and what the guys prepare and really bring has really challenged me over the last few years. It's challenged my thinking. It's challenged how I give over and over. And a scripture that I really adore is in Luke, which says, give and it will be given to you, a good measure pressed down, shaken together, overflowing will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured unto you. And Mark actually continues and says even more. And I just want to encourage you guys to really be obedient to God. That's the most important thing. Don't worry about the rest. The rest will work out the way it should, but just be obedient. God is really in the business of exponentially multiplying what He's given us beyond your wildest imaginations. And I can say to you that you can go and test this. It's actually a command from God to say, give, and I will show you my riches. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Reno. So if you have a business or a company that and you want to start tithing for your company, or the company wants to start tithing, Joshua David Revival Company is a good place to do this. Or otherwise, if you need a Section 28 registered company, speak to us. We've got that as well. Then the next thing, there's Body Serve. This is, you give money to the church, and we give it to people who need it to live. So we often actually have people in church who don't have food for the month, they can't pay their rent, and I'm not speaking about people who've messed up their lives, I'm just speaking about people who are really honestly struggling. We pray about where we give, we make wise decisions, we don't give into bottomless holes, we give where the Holy Spirit leads, but there are people with genuine needs, and I cannot tell you the fruit of the Body Serve. How often, I don't know who, you know, if you pay in Body Serve, I don't know where it comes from. I just see in the account Body Serve. And how many times have we had a crisis where someone doesn't have food or something like that? The Body Serve comes in, I'm able to give it to them. It's a real expression of family. So that's somewhere you can give. Let's Go sponsor missions in June. Every mission team we have, they are people who don't have the finances. So you can sponsor them by giving once or four monthly through the year. We put it into that account, and then when missions time come, we see how we can support people. Nations Cafe, you know about the Nations Cafe, what we're doing there. You can give into that. And then one extra thing is King Judah Kids Church Lion. Okay, so who's seen King Judah at other Shofar churches? Okay, quite a lot of people. It's a lion. It's a suit that someone wears. It's got a big lion head. King Judah, obviously, you know, pertaining to Jesus. It's very cool. It's got a shield and a sword, and the kids love it. And every kids' church, it sings and it comes, collects all the kids. It really adds a lot to the kids' church, the kids' ministry. And just maybe to tell you guys, maybe you don't all know, but we often have people whose kids come to our kids' church with a friend or once or for whatever, and then they join church because their kids love the kids' church. I've had people say this to me. So we're trusting and we know that our kids' church is also a place where we bring people into the church. So that's why we're also putting a lot of focus on that. So this lion will add a lot to that. This lion suit is 14,500 rand, which is a lot, which is why we don't have one. Myself and Gobi have wanted one for years. So if the Holy Spirit shows someone to specifically give to that, then you can reference that. Okay. On time and serving and finances, I can maybe answer one or two questions. Is there a specific question or two that anyone's got? Okay. So if you do come up with a question, speak to your small group leader, you know, or your zone coach through the week. I'm going to pray for us, then they're going to send the offering basket. If you filled in your thing, pop it in. If you haven't, then bring it on Wednesday. Remember with the finance one to fill in two and keep one for yourself. And I encourage you on both these forms to share with your accountability partner what you filled in and keep each other accountable in your obedience to the Holy Spirit. So let's all close our eyes. I just want you to see a picture of a building, whatever that building in your mind looks like. And it's not finished. It's like a third of the way built. And I just want you to see Jesus in the picture, and he's overseeing the building. He's the project manager. He's saying, you know, this goes there, and this needs to happen here. And he's smiling, and he's joyful. And then I want you to see yourself walking into that picture, and you walk up to Jesus, and in this picture you say, Jesus, what do you want me to build? And I'm going to give you a few minutes to spend with Jesus. Just see where he takes you. Trust just what he's showing you. Don't worry too much now about whether you're making it up or not. The Lord works with our imaginations often. Thank you, Lord, that we consecrate all our imaginations to you now in Jesus' name. But just go to Jesus in your mind. Ask him where he wants you to build and see what he shows you. Ask him some questions and just see how he directs you. So, Jesus, we just thank you that you speak to us. And I thank you for so many things said tonight, but we open our hearts, Holy Spirit, to the specific message that you have for each one of us and the specific direction. And we consecrate the fast for the next 3 days. Thank you that you give us strength to endure and the grace to endure and show each one of us what we should fast, Lord. And thank you that you come and confirm these commitments. Guide us, confirm it with scripture, confirm it through people. We just trust you with that, Lord. We trust you to make that clear to us, Father. In Jesus' name. Okay, so just one more thing that we're going to watch a video quickly. We have something exciting coming up in February. Every year as a church, we do a praise and worship outreach on the Grasso Grass at UCT. We invite everyone to be there, also the people who are not students. It's very effective. We're really bringing the presence of God into campus. A lot of people join church because they encounter us there for the first time. This year we're calling it the Nations Festival, and our theme is Rhythm Connects, and it's going to be in February, the 11th of February, 6:30. Please join us if you can. Let us know if you'd like to help serve in any way, and please, most of all, invite people to be there, especially the students. Invite everyone, your whole race, go to them, send them the video via WhatsApp, put it on your Facebook, put notes under their doors. I'm sure you can be very creative, but let's see if we can get the whole campus there to encounter Jesus. So let's see the video.
Hi everyone, greetings from Switzerland. My name is Werns, I'm from the Philippines, and I look forward to being in Cape Town for the Nations Festival on February 11th. See you there!
Greetings from Geneva. I'm from Canada, my name is Stephen Schilke, and I'm looking forward to the Nations Festival in Cape Town, February 11th. See you there.
So literally people coming from all over the world to the Nations Festival. So go like the Facebook page, the UCT Facebook page. Share the videos on your page as well. Two things to mention, arts in church. We don't have a specific arts ministry, but we do a lot of arts things. Email the office if you want to be involved, whatever your skill is, drawing, painting, needlework, whatever you can do. If you want to contribute to church, let us know. We're going to tell you what we're doing and how you can get involved. And if you want to dance, we're going to have auditions soon. Just write down at the bottom there, dance, and I'll let you know the dates for the dance auditions. So let's stand. Let's worship again. Please join us for snacks at the back, especially if you're new. We want to get to know you. If you're new, you get a free coffee. Remember that. And have a good fast, and we see you all on Wednesday. God bless.